time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And good morning to the two of you. We have Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins here in the studio. And
good morning, Lockwood.
I know that we've been talking about topics associated with estate planning and wills and the like. Any continuation on that?
Well, I think last week I understand that Wes was here, of course, and I was not here, but that the discussion centered around, you know, Lockwood, what happens when you do not have a will?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What, you know, it's, a lot of folks ask that question all the time. Do I really need a will? You know, hey, I'm not married, or I've just gotten married and I don't have children yet. Or, I've been married, you know, I'm 30, 40, 45 years mm-hmm. old and I'm happily married, but we just in our life for whatever reason don't have children.
Right.
We're a good solid married couple, but children just didn't come along.
Mm-hmm.
Then of course there's the scenario of, you know, people who are married with minor children. I mean, they're just, you know, every permutation of life is present in this area of the law, which is why we enjoy it so much, Lockwood.
And I might add, it's almost like a puzzle.
It is very much like a puzzle. It absolutely is. And I will tell you something else. Wes and I, you know, every time we meet with a client in this context, you know, we have our little cheat sheet handy. And of course, Wes brought it along today because you really do, as a good lawyer, have to just go back to the basics and put the puzzle together and have the resource there. Of course, what I mean by that is the statute mm-hmm. in front of you. So when you die without a will, and I'm sure this was discussed last week, but it's good to discuss it again, your assets pass according to what's known as intestate succession. Mm-hmm. Now, one of my clients once told me, Mr. Harvell, please make me out a will because I don't want to die on the interstate. and I like that, but it's intestate succession. Of course, who in the world knows about that word other than we lawyers? But intestate succession just means that it's just that your assets are going to pass by statute. And, of course, as one would expect, Lockwood, it kind of begins with the concept of when you have children.
Right.
I mean, once you have children, the puzzle begins to change dramatically. For instance, if you're married and you have no children, if you are one of these folks that's gotten married but has no children, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s,
right.
Guess what? What that means is that if you die without a will, your assets are not going to completely pass to your spouse. One half of the assets are going to go to your spouse, and the other half is going to go to your parent, even though you're married. Okay? That's a shock to a lot of people.
It even got my attention.
Okay, and that happens. Hey,
I'm married.
Have a lot of files like that in our office right now with that scenario. That sometimes happens, God forbid, when people are killed in accidents,
right.
You know, or at an early age for whatever reason, and they just don't have a will. They're married. They haven't had children yet, and then something happens to one of the spouses or one of the married persons. No children. Now, the minute they have children, okay, it all changes.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, of course, we have a lineal descendant. And, of course, at that point now, the parent mm-hmm. is going to be cut off. The statute does not include the parent anymore, okay, because there's a child. There's a child. So at that point, of course, the puzzle begins to unravel in a direction where assets are split, as one would think, between the spouse and the child and or children. This, again, is a surprise to many people because they think that I, as the spouse, this is my wife, this is my husband, and I am entitled to the entire estate.
100%. Yeah.
And they are not, okay? Or if they write a will, they can make it that way, okay? But we're talking about when you die without a will. If you die without a will, and you have a husband, have a wife, and you have children, then the assets are not going to pass entirely to the surviving spouse. They are going to be split between the surviving spouse and the child and or children.
Now, what happens in the case where you have multiple children? Is it divided up half and half? In other words, the surviving spouse and let's say there are three children.
Right.
And the three children get the other half?
Right.
What's the divide?
That's a great question. And, of course, it wouldn't be, there would not be a simple answer. Of course, the answer is that if there's only the one child, then it is the half and half, generally speaking,
okay.
half and half. Going to talk about some caveats to that in a moment. If there's two or more children, then it is one third to the spouse and two thirds to the children. Okay.
And how does when we're going to three and four children in the
That doesn't change.
That
does two or more.
Okay, two or more.
Two or more.
I want to make a quick caveat to all of this. I say caveat, but just a quick note. We began this conversation now, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I just want to make a comment. You said at the outset, Cecil.
Yes.
A will does not have to be all that complicated. Just get the will done. Come in and talk to you. So reason I mentioned that, a lot of people are thinking, oh my goodness, now I've got to go out and it's going to be very complicated. It's going to be very, very involved, and it could be. But the important part of this is, get the will.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, we talked about this last week. A lot of people, young parents, who are thinking, well, I don't have any assets. I've got a child, maybe children, but I don't have any assets, so I really don't have to worry about this. This really is a major concern, particularly with families, young families.
Sure. Well, one of the main reasons, to have a will if you have children, but maybe you don't feel like you have many assets, is to appoint the guardian of the child.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that on the program. But also, there is complexity and a lot of complexity in the statute that we're going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's complex. And if we don't have a will in place, then the family has to live with that complexity and live with the results of that. And I would say 9 times out of 10, the results of dying without a will are not what the deceased would want.
Right.
But what's simple is just preparing a will indicating what you want. All to my spouse and then to my kids in trust, just something very simple with regard. That's pretty standard, by the way. When you say and mention that this sounds like it's a complex task to undertake, preparing the will is not complex. Dealing with the statute is complex.
So now some of the caveats are that the law begins to make a distinction between personal property, Lockwood, and real property. And we've mentioned to our listeners before that real property is land. Of course, the question evolves out of that, well, does that include my house?
Right.
And it does.
Okay.
Land in North Carolina is the land, and in those deeds, then it says all improvements and appurtenances thereto. And the appurtenances thereto, by the way, are our houses and our fences and our swimming pools, if we have any, our barns, our garages, anything having to do that's attached to the land. So that is all real property in the state of North Carolina. And then guess what? This is fairly simple. Thank goodness everything else is personal property.
Okay.
And personal property is, in fact, everything else. Cars, vehicles, boats, stock accounts, bank accounts, CDs, clothing, jewelry, personal effects. Everything else is personal property. It falls into one of those two categories. And, of course, the law then begins to say that as to the personal property, if, in fact, there are children, then the spouse is going to take the first $60,000 of personal property. And the rest is either split 50-50 if there's just that one child again. If there's two or more children, then it's the one-third, two-thirds. But the first $60,000 always goes to the surviving spouse. As to real property, it's just simply either the half or the one-third, as we discussed. If there's just the one child, then it is one-half, one-half. If there's two or more children, two children, three children, five children, it doesn't matter. The spouse will take a third, the children will take two-thirds, and they divide the two-thirds amongst however many children there happen to be. If there is a child that has died, then their children, in fact, take their share. So you can see that this can become very complex because less, you know, Lockwood, you know, during when I first came in here, I didn't realize, you know, you have 8 grandchildren.
Right.
You know, families grow.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
And, so, you know, we can be looking at a lot of people.
That's
Mom
right.
and dad just have 2 or 3 children.
Mm-hmm.
But each of those 2 or 3 children have 2 or 3 children. And now one of them dies. So we have all of those folks at the table, if you will.
Wow. So this goes back to the comment a moment ago, Wes. The complexity is in the state law. The will can right. simplify and cut through this complexity, and in the process, give the family members security and knowledge of what's going to take place.
Right. Well, a properly drafted will with a trust in it for minor beneficiaries and, you know, naming the executor, waiving the bond, naming the guardian of the kids, you're not talking about more than a couple $100s. But, wow. I mean, it's a pretty inexpensive thing in the grand scheme of things. And, you know, you just need a will.
I mean,
that's just the bottom line. Otherwise, in the event something happens, you pass away, then we're probably going to have an unintended consequence.
Now, just to show you, Lockwood, how we have to, which is a good thing, you know, we have to really stay on the ball as a lawyer, which is what we should do. I said $60,000.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
We're going to go to a break.
Okay.
I'm going to come back then in just a moment.
Absolutely.
Stay with us. Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. We're dealing with the issue of estates and, the need for wills. As a matter of fact, I haven't even shared this. If you have a question, you can call in. Feel free to 800-818-2255. Locally in the 910 area code of our listening audience, 353-4674, and 252 area code of our listening audience, 247-7282. And I will give you, of course, the information related to Harville and Collins. Very, very important information being shared with us today. You can call them at their office, Harville and Collins, 726-9050. That's 252 area code, 726-9050. And again, back to you, Cecil. Yeah. You were about to go
I was about to say, Lockwood, that I mentioned earlier that it's the first $60,000 of personal property
mm-hmm.
that goes to the surviving spouse before the rest of the personal property
right.
then goes to the children
mm-hmm.
in some combination, either the one half or the two thirds, depending on how many children there are.
Right.
If there are no children, okay, if there are no children, back to that scenario, then the surviving spouse takes the first $100,000 of personal property. And then the parent, as you recall, is involved in that file because
right.
there is no child. And then the parent, of course, then takes, then there's the split
mm-hmm.
at that point of
right.
one half. But, the first one, the $60,000 increases to $100,000. Now, Lockwood, we don't have but so much time on this program, and what I want to begin to put together today for our listeners is that, you know, so Wes and I, the client comes in, we hear the facts, we put the puzzle together. This is the beginnings of putting the puzzle together for that client to explain to them how the estate is going to be distributed. Then, of course, just like on the estate planning side of things, you then have to look to the titling of the assets.
Whoa.
To the titling of the assets. For instance, I've just mentioned to you that the husband and wife, you know, if they have no children, that the parent is involved.
Right.
Well, not if the property is titled Tenants by Entirety, John Doe and wife Jane Doe, and not if the account at the bank is joint with right of survivorship, and not if the IRA designation is the wife or the husband. So in other words, you then have to look at how the assets are titled. What we're referring to here in this statute are assets that are titled completely in the name of the decedent.
Okay.
Okay. And how they would pass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have to not only put the puzzle together as to the statute and follow the statute, but the second inquiry that the lawyer will make is, well, but tell me how the assets are titled and who are the beneficiaries of the various accounts. You know, are there time on death or payable okay. on death or joint with right of survivorship? Okay. So that then dovetails back into the conference and into the initial intake of information in the file. This is the same thing that Wes and I have mentioned on the program so many times with regard to the planning side.
Uh-huh.
When we go to make a will, Lockwood, mm-hmm. or to set up a trust, we not only have to find out what the client's intentions are,
mm-hmm.
but we have to make sure that their assets are titled in such a way
uh-huh.
so as to support the intention of their documents. What is the purpose of having, you know, a will that leaves everything to, you know, to my children from a prior marriage, if that's what the will says, if, in fact, your account is joint with right of survivorship at the stock company or payable on death to your spouse? You have to coordinate the
uh-huh.
two.
And by the way, I want to go back to something that you said last week, Wes, that is, if the husband and wife are separated, for
correct.
Example.
Correct.
But they never make the change, and this would go to even the title, I would guess.
Correct.
So, you know, okay, there's a divorce. But if the original document setting up the bank account or the property still has the name of the former spouse, that confuses the matter, doesn't it?
It does, and we have that. Often.
You were shaking your head.
The question is, you know, of course, Lockwood, you know, we have to ask a few more questions. Is there a separation agreement,
uh-huh.
first of all?
Uh-huh.
The separation agreement, if it is a signed legal document, and then that, of course, is going to control some of these issues, if not all of them. Secondly, of course, if there is the decree of divorce, now, of course, as one would expect, you are not a spouse,
right?
There's a decree of divorce. You are not a spouse.
Got you.
And the law is going to have a plethora of statutes that apply to what happens in those circumstances.
But in this modern day and age, you've got a lot of situations where there are separations, but they've been estranged for years.
Absolutely.
Right. And
absolutely.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
All right.
We have a file in our office right now where they swear and declare that they're married. And we have found out that they are not married. Even though the deed says, Husband and wife.
Oh, yeah. Hi, you're listening to the right advice at the right time. I'll ask you off air. All right. You're listening to Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station. Okay, we are talking with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, and Wes is sharing with us a moment ago off air a situation. Just want to make comment here. The conclusion of this conversation is there's no reason not to have a will, or quite frankly, there is a reason to have a will, and the reason is the complication of not dying on the interstate, in intestate. All right. Wes, I thought this was an interesting story about
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, ins and outs with regard to the application of this statute. But, you know, just to add to this, you know, as Cecil has gone through this today, we see that the statute is very much driven by whether there is a surviving spouse. Okay. And let's say there's a car accident and both spouses pass away, or let's say one passes away and then one survives by a short period of time. Well, the way the statute works with regard to that is that the surviving spouse in the accident has to survive by at least 120 hours in order to take under this statute. So there could conceivably be a situation where, you know, the spouse is severely injured but not deceased and really kept alive until 120 hours have passed so that, you know, really for the purpose of taking under the statute. I mean, that could happen. So,
I mean,
it's complicated.
The statute is complicated. The simplification is simply get a will.
Correct. Because a well-drafted will, Lockwood, is going to address simultaneous death. Okay. All of the documents that Wes and I prepare in our office have an article in them that addresses and states with clarity that if we as a couple are involved in a common disaster, you know, who survives? And it doesn't matter whether it's 120 hours or whether we can't tell or whatever the circumstances are, the will sets forth, you know, the consequence there if it cannot be determined. It cannot be determined.
This another comment here.
Uh-huh.
You've got a lot of parents and grandparents out there who need to ask their children and or grandchildren, do you have a will?
Yes.
Because quite often, as we mentioned a moment ago, with the passage of assets to even the parents' situation, my parents probably are not interested in that. It would simplify, it seems to me, for them to simply ask their children, please have a will and you know, take care of these situations. Am I thinking correctly on that?
Absolutely. And of course, we have many appointments. I see one on the calendar, I think, for today that, you know, is mom and dad coming in with the children who are in from out of town. And that's a very common thing that the children are involved, adult children,
mm-hmm.
that is.
Right,
and they
right.
should be if you have a family, dynamic where they can be involved. Lockwood, in our last minute again, I just want to loop around because Wes and I are just seeing this, so many issues with regard to, you know, again, the titling of assets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so impressed the other day. I rarely, you know, kind of look at the CNN thing online, but I happened to land there for some reason. And lo and behold, there was this recording, this video of this story about this woman, you know, who due to the lack of titling, proper titling of the assets,
mm-hmm.
payable on death, time on death, joint with right of survivorship. These are the code words
right.
that I want our listeners to hear that are very, very scary and can create devastating consequences if they are not properly looked at. So I encourage all of our listeners to not only be aware of making a will, but to also check how their accounts and their properties are titled.
The right advice at the right time. That's Harvell and Collins. By the way, the website, Harvell and Collins. By these programs are also recorded on that website. 726-9050. It's a 252 area code.